relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One, where we have an opportunity to go a little bit deeper, a lot deeper than the average media content out there. You know me, 3 hours of radio every single day, but I'm a massive fan of the long form. First 2 hours, we'll give you breaking news. We'll talk about what's happening in the swamp or around the world. But then we want to sit down with somebody to talk about the big issues for a little bit longer than the average TV interview of 180 seconds. And today we are delighted to have with us a historian who's connected to the news because of a recent event at censorship. And we are delighted to be joined by Gadi Taub. Gadi, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for having me, Sebastian.
So I think we've kind of shadowed each other for years. I've been familiar with you. You've been familiar with me. But you and your team of colleagues at the Heroes of Liberty book series reached out to me recently, maybe a month ago, just before Christmas, to talk about this amazing series of books. We'll talk about the series, why you guys are doing it, what happened last week to the book series and how Facebook tried to stop you. Here we've got a couple of the covers, Ronald Reagan, Thomas Sowell, and Amy Coney Barrett. But it's a whole series of books that we are going to discuss at length. But first, for those who aren't familiar with who Gadi is, tell us a little bit about who you are, because your Wikipedia entry is, well, to put it mildly, a little bit disturbing given some of the media organs you've been associated with, including the New York Times. So prove to us who the real Gadi Taub is.
Well, I've had a shift from the left to the right. It happened because of Israeli politics. It was gradual. The newspaper I work for now is the Israeli parallel of the New York Times. It's Haaretz, but I'm the counterpoint there, and I'm surprised every week that they still.
So you're the one sane person at Haaretz.
Yes, something like that. There's a bunch of us, but they like to attack me more than the others. Since you know I come from the left, I know how to irritate them. So I always sparkle a little Tabasco on my writing. So
a little bit spicy.
Shout extra hard.
All right. Talk about your professional background, your education, what you did academically, what you focused on, and then a little bit about your journey of discovery, the Churchillian journey, as Winnie said, he who is not liberal when young has no heart, he who is not conservative when older has no brain. So talk to us about how you underwent that journey, Gadi.
Well, there are a few strands to this. My greatest love, I think, is literature, and it was here. But in Israel, you can't make a living off that, even if you write bestsellers. And I've had bestsellers for children, bestsellers for adults. And then I've also started writing about culture because, like Andrew Breitbart, we here too realize that politics is downstream from culture, and I've always been very political. So I started looking into what became here the seeds of postmodernism, and we called it here post-Zionism, the same Edward Said kind of mode, the hatred of the West, the hatred of Israel, the hatred of Zionism, they always go together. And while still being on the left, I wrote a very incendiary book about that, a very angry book about that, but also a book that tried to analyze these phenomena.
What was that book?
It was called A Dispirited Rebellion. To my great surprise, it became a bestseller.
And why was it angry? What was the main critique of Dispirited Rebellion?
It's the same critique that right-minded conservatives now have of postmodernism in general, of woke indoctrination in general of social justice warriors, all that package, we have it here too. And this is a small and very young immigrant society. So you can imagine that when they attack the melting pot, when they attack the Zionist ethos, they're attacking the basis of our existence here. Now, my parents come from labor Zionism, but my father lost a hand in the War of Independence, was always a Zionist. When the right took over in Israel, he was thrown out of his job. He was the head of the commission that is responsible for regulating the stock market in Israel. So he was a very high functionary.
So like the SEC.
Our version of the FCC. So he was the SEC. So he was kicked out. He refused to go to the private market because he said, I came here to serve the public. And he headed a public publishing company. Till he retired at a very old age, and he was a journalist too. So these were, I grew up in a house that was left wing in many ways, but always right minded and Zionist.
So what happened? I wrote this. So what happened? Was there, as the left says, a triggering moment? What made you think that this new left is bad for Israel?
You know, the way I see it, they went crazy, not me. The whole map shifted. And this was a turn from what was a rather successful first generation socialist orientation in Israel, which did not become tyrannical and therefore basically began to dissipate. And we became a free market society gradually. But the left has gone crazy. So I found myself in opposition to them, and I started writing these things. And you know, when you start messing with these people, they're very violent. And
they're vicious. They are vicious. What was there an issue that was really crucial to that turn? Was it national security? Was it culture? Can you remember what it was that made you say, okay, these guys are just too crazy?
That happened gradually too, because the craze, while I was still on the left in terms of security, which meant I supported the Oslo agreements and I believed the Palestinians wanted peace and I thought we should give it a try. I think we should have given it a try to learn that it's the wrong path. They went crazy. And then gradually we realized that even the moderate left is holding a map that you can't find your way in the world with. So it was a very pragmatic thing. It was, you know, Thomas Sowell was once interviewed by Dave Rubin, and he was asked, why did you leave Marxism? And he had a one-word answer: facts. And so that's what happened to me too.
People forget that Thomas Sowell, and it's a kid's book, but read Gaddy's series of books and the one there. But if you look at the documentaries and the interviews with Thomas Sowell, who is a giant of conservative thought in America today, he was a radical. I mean, in university, he was a radical.
He was a Marxist.
Yeah, and even Clarence absolutely. Thomas, the great Clarence Thomas from the Supreme Court, in his documentary of his life, he admits that he went through that same phase as well. So, you know, the Churchillian journey is an oft... Yes, indeed, the Thomas Sowell book.
This is our Thomas Sowell.
And the illustrations in that one, your artist is superb. I think you have different artists for different books. But before we move on to the series of books and what Facebook did to you guys just a week ago, talk to us about... because you're a historian, I think, by training. And let's talk about taxonomy, because you said it's this... this postmodernism, you said in your context, it's the anti-Zionist. I'm not sure these are good labels. What do you think of the new left? We have to be accurate with who we're talking about. These aren't just, this isn't Derrida, this isn't Foucault. This is the next stage of detachment from reality. What do you think is a good descriptor for these people?
Well, and now the moniker woke is very helpful. I think it captures a lot about their self-perception. But this is what happened to these ideas when they came to America is that their pessimism sank in the Atlantic. It happens to European ideas often. You take someone like a pessimist like Freud and becomes in America the sexual revolution and becomes like let's just let libido run society instead of super ego. So these ideas came to America, and I had a feeling it was all connected to the 60s. And I'll tell you, I hated the 60s since I was 10 years old because I was in love with a girl when these ideas came. I was, I think, in fourth grade. And then came the idea of free love. And I said, what do you mean? I'm going to share her with anyone? Which was a crazy idea because she didn't even see me. She didn't know I existed. But already I sensed that there was something wrong with these ideas. And then when I came to study postmodernism, I realized this was all, you know, the politics of the 60s moved to academia wholesale.
Yeah.
And you can see all the different strands of wokeness have been different strands of the students' movement.
This is the great irony. I'm not sure this book has been written yet, but somebody has to write it, that, you know, the revolutionaries, the rebels of 1968 who railed against the man, well, they became the man. They became the institutions on both sides of the Atlantic. They became the tenured professors. They became the individuals that are running the liberal corporations. They became the media conglomerate. So the great irony is that today the counterculture, the cool kids, are conservatives. We're talking to Gadi Taub. He's part of the creative team for an amazing series of books called Heroes of Liberty. You're listening to America First One-on-One. Guys, if you enjoy the long form, share your knowledge of what we are doing here. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, wherever it is. Look for my name, America First. Subscribe, it's free, and share the links and the content with all of your friends, because we do have a capture. We have a culture to recapture. Stay with us for more ideas on how to save our civilization with Gadi Taub here on America First. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend. ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Friends, if you haven't done so already, we have our new dates. Yes, we are going to Israel. We are going to the Holy Land. They tried to stop us last year with the China virus, but we're back. The new dates are November 30th to December 9th. With my colleague Dinesh D'Souza, we are traveling to the Holy Land, where our Lord and Savior walked the earth for the trip of a lifetime. All the key sites, the Temple Mount, the Wailing Wall, the Sea of Galilee, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, on and on and on. Even if you've been to Israel, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Reserve your places today. Call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. It's time to get out. It's time to go to somewhere special. Book your tickets at the StandWithIsraelTour.com website. Once again, StandWithIsraelTour.com. Gadi, let's jump to the subject of this series of books, The Heroes of Liberty. What is the genesis of this series, and what is the objective of this series? And talk to us about some of the titles that have already been published.
If you believe that politics is downstream from culture, you probably also believe rightly that adults are downstream from children. And what is happening with woke indoctrination is that it's starting earlier and earlier. It's getting crazier and crazier. And we feel that if we don't fight this fight all over the West, this is an American-based firm. And our team is in New York, in Washington, and it partnered with us in Tel Aviv. But we feel it's the same problem everywhere. So what we felt we would have an advantage with is that the problem with woke indoctrination for children is that it's mind-numbingly didactic and boring. It's just completely abandoned the idea of storytelling.
So it's banging the kids over the head with this exactly. Is the only truth you're allowed to hear, right?
Yeah, and you know, this comes with their postmodern philosophy, because if you believe that discourse constructs the world, then there's no art, literally. There is only legislation. Your art becomes legislative. So you can't move from indoctrination. And the result is that it's mind-numbingly boring. And they're producing a lot of it. The number of Obama biographies for toddlers there is just staggering. And then we looked at it, and there's nothing for right-minded people who believe in traditional American values, people who believe in liberty, people who believe in individualism, in individual accountability, in the free market, in democracy. There's just almost nothing out there. So
can I stop you there for a second? Just remember where we paused for a second, because I want to push back a little bit, because, yes, it's clearly, you know, very didactic, but isn't there tension in that observation with the fact that the left seems really quite polished in storytelling? I mean, they're obsessed with the concept of narrative. And if you look at the way they've captured the culture, you can't capture the culture ham-fistedly. Although, if you look at Hollywood today, what they're producing is garbage. So were they, let me put it this way, were they good at telling stories that were untrue and now are lazy? Is that one way about understanding the left's control?
I think they've become complacent. Yes. I think their creative energies are going into political narratives. Yeah. And when they come to children, they don't even treat them as children. Just think of the way they're trying to give them this bizarre gender fluidity sex education. Some of the sex education going into like first grades in elementary school are completely irrelevant to age, not to mention outrageous. But they've stopped thinking about children as children. They think of them as little soldiers, and so they don't feel they need to engage them, inspire them, lift them on the wings of the imagination. And this is what we set out to do, and this is why our illustrations are also so striking. We went, by the way, we couldn't find American illustrators. Everyone was afraid of cancel culture.
Wow. Will you just, for those of the viewers who are actually watching us and not the listeners on radio, will you just open up the inside of the Thomas Sowell book you've got there? Because you sent me so many of these books a couple of weeks ago, and I left them at home. But look, amazing. I mean, it's fun. I mean, just quality. It's Thomas Sowell taking a bath in a tub with his sister, you know, as a kid. That's him at home.
That's a very sad one.
Excellent. It's just excellent. Excellent. So, okay, so you decided you need an antidote, and you're going to tell good stories with good illustrations in children's books, but with specific, I mean, at Breitbart, I was always told, you got to tell stories about heroes and villains. So your choice was to tell a series, Heroes of Liberty, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So we went for the positive, but I'll qualify that with saying that I believe that storytelling in general shouldn't be sugarcoated. Children have fears, they have problems in their lives, they have things they need to work out. So partly why, you know, Dickens, which probably wouldn't be canceled today, is so good, because he takes a child close to the abyss. You look into the abyss, but then he holds you so you don't fall. So the story of Thomas Sowell, for instance, is not an easy story.
No.
But it's a story of triumph, and he's an amazing man. He's really an amazing man. So you have this kid who comes from the South, and he comes to New York, and a bunch of New York teachers are telling him that education in the South is garbage, and they take him down a grade, and he refuses.
He goes to the principal, and he says,
he demands to go to the principal.
I'm not going. At what age? What, like age 10? He said, no, you're not putting me down a grade. Who do you think you are?
He was 9 years old. Imagine this confidence of this guy. And so the principal wanted to show him that he couldn't do fourth grade. So he gave him some math exercises, and he solved them. He just solved them right there, and he got himself into the right grade. Or in the case of Reagan, not many people know this story, but he once found his father sleeping, passed out, drunk in the snow, and he saved his life. So, and then he went back home. And, you know, Reagan is this positive thinking kind of guy, but we have this scene where he does it. We show the drawing. It's very touching that he grabs his passed out father into the house, and then he goes inside the house and he pulls his blanket over his head and he just wants to forget it. And the next thing, he's composing a poem about how we should look at life positively. So we didn't only bring the poem about how to see life positively, because we wanted the stories to be engaging, to take you in an emotional journey, and never ever to just bang ideas at you.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is something that I've been exploring for the last few years, and you know, I'm not a writer in the sense of fiction, but I have written three books, and I enjoy reading. And you just understand that man lives on stories. We need water, we need oxygen, we need protein, and we need stories. There's a reason every child wants to be told stories at night. And those stories aren't sugar-coated. They're not all about princesses and fairies. You know, in the fairy tales, there are the dragons, there are the witches, there are the evil stepmothers. And so what you're doing is fabulous. It's at Heroes of Liberty. It's heroesofliberty.com. We're going to discuss what happened to this series of books and the other titles that you have in the series. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. If you enjoyed, don't forget to check out my new website. It's gorka.locals.com. Direct access to me and content you can't find anywhere else. Thousands have already joined. Join today, gorka.locals.com, for direct access and unique content. That's GORKA.locals.com. More from Gaddy after these messages. We've all been there. You get out of the shower, out of the bath, reach for the towel, and it's like sanding yourself down with a piece of cardboard. Why? Mike Lindell worked it out. They were importing towels from abroad, adding softness, and when you get home, it's just a con. Do what we've done. Order the incredible new MyPillow towels made with American cotton right here in the United States. Soft and absorbent as long as you own them. The six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths, regularly $109.99. You gonna get them for $39.99. If you use my name, go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio list of specials for deep, deep discounts with promo code GORKA. You've never tried a towel like it. 1-800-829-8468. 1-800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Welcome back to America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, and Gaddy Taub. Gaddy, let's talk about how you and your colleagues at the Heroes of Liberty team became articles of news reporting a few days ago. So you have this series of fabulous books. They're children's books, beautifully illustrated, nothing disgusting in them, nothing pornographic, nothing illegal, unlike the books in the Virginia public schools. So tell us about what happened to you, your team, your products, when it came to Mark Zuckerberg's giant that is Facebook.
Yeah, we started out trying to strike it independently. So we're selling our books on our website, heroesofliberty.com, and we wanted to be... We didn't want to be dependent on other services, but Facebook offers a singular opportunity to build a community. And so we thought, you know, our books are not controversial in any way. Yes, they are for traditional American values. And as we know, American values are being canceled. Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly. But canceling Reagan, you know, that didn't cross our minds. We thought that would nobody do that. And apparently some little tyrant has been sitting there and he thought like with his pinky that he would squash us because I guess he didn't like our orientation.
So what happened? What happened to your series of books on Facebook?
They blocked our ads account, and this is where we invested almost all our our marketing budget. And it was just gone down the drain. So we appealed, and they said the decision is final. The account is permanently disabled.
Hang on. I got to ask somebody who's been terminated twice on YouTube, who on Instagram cannot be tagged because I have been labeled by the Facebook owners of Instagram as a purveyor of misinformation, which is interesting given the Russia hoax conspiracy for the last 4 years. I have to ask you, because they never did it to me, did they give you a reason as to why they cancelled your advertising account?
Are you sitting? It's disruptive content.
Aha, because this Thomas Sowell taking a bath age 6 in Southern America is disruptive content.
And so they thought they would just squash us with their pinky, and they discovered that this little chihuahua can bite because we I don't know who the guy is sitting there, but you know, I can imagine him trying to shake us off his finger because after a while they started calling congressmen and senators to ask for our contact info because no, it was an error. They'll return.
Hang on. I need these full details. So they try to cancel your advertising budget on Facebook because making children's books about conservative heroes is disruptive content. Yeah, it is if you're a commie. And then they got worried and they tried to find out your contact. I need to know
I skipped a stage.
What was it that got them worried? What did you guys do in retaliation for this injustice?
Well, we wrote a press release and we contacted journalists, and Fox Business News picked it up and put it right up at the top of their site for a whole morning with a picture of Zuckerberg and our books and a label anti-American. And it started a wildfire. And then Ted Cruz tweeted out something, and then others started tweeting. And by the way, not everyone on the right, some people on the center and even on the moderate left thought, wait a minute. Canceling Reagan, that is a little too much. And so they got scared when it became political, right? Because they're thinking someone will take away their Section 230 or something. So the minute they began to, and it's just like, you know, like foam, it just grew and grew. It was all over Twitter. It was all over the conservative press everywhere. Name a site, Daily Wire, National Review, everywhere. There was something about it. And they didn't contact us. They contacted the congressmen and senators, and they called Cruz's office and asked for our contact information. They could have found our editor.
Yeah, but as you said, Bethany, it's some what did Senator Paul call them? Some snotty-nosed little git somewhere who probably doesn't know even how to find somebody's phone number. So, what's the resolution? Briefly, what happened? Are you back on Facebook?
They reinstated our ads account, but I must tell you, we're not now so eager to rush to putting a lot of money there because we don't know what will happen next. It's complete. This is the Ministry of Truth from George Orwell's 1984. There's no one to talk to. You appeal and you get these irrelevant notes because they said in one round they said our ads were low quality. They rate ads. They gave us high grades for 95% of our ads. They gave us these grades, and now they're saying low quality. It just, you know, this complacency. It's just it and people get angry. We got such reactions from people. You see how the tyranny of those institutions that tell you what to think is becoming unbearable for these people.
The most awesome pipes in talk radio. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to America First One-on-One with Gadi Taub. I have a peculiar question for you, and we don't rehearse any of our interviews. We don't, you know, get permission and talking points and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to hit you between the eyes with this one, Gadi. Why is an Israeli former liberal publishing children's books about American conservative heroes? What's in it for you? You're in Israel. You're in the Middle East. What's in it for you?
Well, first of all, I love America, and I love American culture. My PhD is in American history. My first literary love was Damon Runyon. And secondly, talking about downstream, Israel is downstream for America. Whatever happens there will happen here. And so we're greatly worried. So I joined this team with great gusto because I think it's an important thing, because I love to tell stories to children, because I think this is a mind-numbing, corrupting, bad influence on the souls of people. Children are being malnourished. Yes. Reading all this woke crap. So it was natural for me, and I joined it with passion. And I dedicate a lot of my time to this. And we are doing now, what we're doing is a subscription library. So we are now, you can make a subscription, you'll get a different hero every month. And now the next one is John Wayne, and the subtitle is Manhood and Honor. And this is a book I specifically love, because I told you that I wrote against the woke crowd back 25 years ago in Israel. Part of that woke crowd was radical feminism, and because I think that instead they keep saying that they are for equality, but they're not for equality. This is a demonization of males, and I feel for little boys now. And you know, I've read Christina Hoff Sommers' book, The War Against Boys. It's terrible. Masculinity is being demonized in such a way that kids are taught to hate themselves. So we thought, you know, that if we do a John Wayne book and call it Manhood and Honor, no one will mistake our message.
then you'll really get in trouble with Silicon Valley. I mean, you know, all jokes aside, this is my next mission. So my next book is going to be about, you know, restoring the masculine and celebrating manhood. Because it's you know, it's central to Western civilization, you know, from David to, you know, Winston Churchill to, you know, from you know, Moshe Dayan to Ronald Reagan. You know, manhood is why we crushed evil. It's not about demeaning women. It's about understanding that when evil raises its ugly head, it is the duty of men to fight it. And as a famous philosopher once said, if you don't, if good men do nothing, then evil prevails. So I'm very excited about the next one, the John Wayne book. Give us, because we haven't covered the others, give us the names of who you've written books about, your team have written books about already at heroesofliberty.com, and give us some other insight into who else you will be publishing.
Yes. So there's going to be Mark Twain, who's been canceled here and there now. There's going to be one of my favorite, Douglas MacArthur. There's going to be Clara Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross. Next after John Wayne is Alexander Hamilton with unbelievably stunning 18th century style art. It's going to be amazing. And then we've got Margaret Thatcher. We've got Teddy Roosevelt. We've got Truett Cathy is going to be one of our heroes. Abraham Lincoln. And this is what we've got planned up to now.
We're already
selling a 2-year subscription. We are committed to this, and we're going to produce one every month. By the way, Sebastian, your listeners and your viewers get 5% off.
Oh yes, tell us about this amazing deal. So please tell us about, if people want to push back, if they want to have a real vaccine against the ills of our culture, where do they go, and what kind of discount can you give them, Gadi?
They go to heroesofliberty.com. That's the only place to get us now. And the discount coupon is Gorka. So anyone who goes on our site and armed with your name can get a 5% discount on all our products, all the books, all the subscription plans, which, as I said, stretch over the next 2 years. And we're going to continue from there. We want to do a Founding Fathers series.
Excellent.
We want to do a veteran series, like people with medals of honor. We want to do a series of biblical heroes. So if this picks up as we hope it will, we are going to go back to the foundation of the Judeo-Christian culture and try to give children a juicy bite from them, not a didactic preaching, but a juicy bite of this, because you know, culture is at the bottom of every culture. There are archetypes, and those archetypes are from literally the bottom of our souls. And every culture needs to help its young deal with both demons and gods. And we have to start young. And this was once natural with every story a mother told a child. And now the schools are completely gone. And our strategy is focused on these, you know, sacred minutes of intimacy between parent and child before a child goes to sleep, which we believe are formative. And we hope that these books, because they're illustrated in this stunning way, could be used even for very young kids, where you can just browse the book and tell the story in a simpler way, and all the way up to age 12, where children who read themselves can read one such book in, say, an hour before they go to sleep. They're not long. They're 18 to 22 spreads. We kept the text simple, but I hope engaging. And we want to take back the bookshelf.
You have a way with words. We just had a soundbite machine in the last 2 minutes. The sacred moments of intimacy as a child goes to sleep when you tell them stories. Fabulous phrase. That's going to be emblazoned on my cerebellum for a while. And then this phrase, I love this call to action. Take back the bookshelf. Let's take back the bookshelf. Let's take back the schools. Let's take back the libraries. This is how it starts. And I love this phrase. Media Matters. You're going to have a cow now, aren't you? I mean, you're going to have a conniption. He just said, armed with your name. Gorka, as a weapon. I love that. Armed with my name. Go to heroesofliberty.com.
Go to heroesofliberty.com. And
heroesofliberty.com. Armed with G-O-R-K-A to get your discount. Do your children and do our civilization a favor. God bless you, Gaddy. What a fabulous, fabulous interview. We are coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
This is America First one-on-one with our very special guest, Gaddy Taub. Are you an optimist when it comes to the Judeo-Christian civilization and us taking it back from those who hate it?
Yes, I am. And I think Israelis have got a lot to contribute in this respect. Our statistics about happiness in Israel are, we are one of the 10 happiest nations on earth. Now, if you ever look at the Middle Eastern map, it doesn't seem intuitively right.
No, surrounded by people that hate you, you probably wouldn't expect you to be too happy.
Yeah, because first of all, one thing we can contribute is we have a reality check. So whenever woke culture takes hold here, it at one point or another, it will crash against the rocks of reality. And the tragedy, I think, now with America as opposed to Israel is complacency. America has gotten used to being so strong and so big. It's just selling its assets as if there's no tomorrow. In Israel, you can't do that. We are a nation of 10 million people, a country of 10 million people surrounded by 400 million people who hate us. Not all of them. And hopefully less and less as time goes by. But, you know, there's a cloud of the Muslim Brotherhood all over this region. And if it was up to President Obama when he was here, it would have already overtaken the whole region. One of the great damages of woke culture is the death of humor. Israelis can joke about anything, I tell you, even the Holocaust. Yeah. I'm not going to joke about the Holocaust on your show, but I tell you, Israelis between them joke about everything.
Yeah, there's There's no sacred cow in Israeli humor.
Nothing. And we do have sacred cultural treasures, but we always have also humor. So ever since, as The Onion once put it, feminists went on humor strike in 1963, ever since, humor has been dying on the left. And now, you know, the Babylon Bee is the funniest thing out there.
Which started, which is an interesting thing I didn't know until I listened to their interview with Elon Musk, which is hilarious that the Babylon Bee got to interview him. Started off as a little small site for a Christian evangelical bunch of guys, and now it's the funniest thing out there. I'm just saddened that this amazing series of books wasn't thought up by Americans in America, but I am, of course, impressed that our cousins in our closest ally in the Middle East, our Judeo-Christian partners in this civilization, came up with this. So, Gaddy, Rotem, everybody at the Heroes of Liberty team, God bless you. Guys, do our civilization a favor. Go to heroesofliberty.com right now. Order your children, your grandchildren, your future grandchildren, as many copies as you can of these books. Ronald Reagan, Thomas Sowell, Amy Coney Barrett, on and on and on. Use my name as a weapon. You can be armed with G-O-R-K-A as a discount. God bless you, Gaddy. You've been listening to America First one-on-one. As ever, on Friday, we always close with the words of my former boss.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. We will never, ever surrender. My fellow Americans, our movement is far from over. In fact, our fight has only just begun.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.